Hello, everybody, and welcome to Weekly Manga Recap Q&A for May 2016. On my Roller Time, here alongside Rollo T. And Chris, how's it going?
It's going, Nick. It's going. It's flowing, you could say.
Really?
It's growing in its own way, actually.
Are you making a reference to something that I'm just not getting?
No, I'm just trying to, you know, like, chilling like a villain in...
Wants a melon.
Yeah, wants a melon. Yeah, essentially like that. Like, you know, it's going, flowing, rowing, mowing.
Stowing.
Yeah, it's stowing. That one breaks it a little bit. Harder O sound. I guess I'm going to get my archery kit and go out of bowing. I don't know. I don't think it's even a word, but I'm just going to squeeze that one in there.
It honestly feels like it's been forever since we did Weekly Manga Recap to me. It's only been 5 days. Since our last regular episode, but it somehow feels like longer than when it's a full week. I have no idea why that is.
I felt like, because we took a week off for Golden Week. There wasn't any jump, so we just didn't do anything that week. And when we came back, I legitimately feel like we hadn't done a Weekly Manga Recap in like a month and a half. I was like,
right.
Man, what's just a long break? But
no,
I guess when you
honestly,
consider
coming
it...
Coming back from this 5-day break somehow feels longer than that 2-week break was.
I could see it. I guess there's some kind of...
It might just because it's Monday. I'm not used to doing stuff on Monday. It's like a foreign feeling.
Garfield hates this day for a reason, Nick. There's a reason
right.
why we don't do much
Garfield
on
doesn't want to have to answer questions.
Yeah.
Unless it's, would you like to eat right now?
In which case, he's already eaten your food. He doesn't take
right,
time
right.
to answer that. Plus, Garfield doesn't really talk. He just thinks. And sometimes John seems
somehow
to get
John
what he's talking
is
about.
A, is psychic part of the time.
But can Garfield talk to the other... Like, he could talk to Nurmal...
He can
but
clearly
does,
communicate with the other cats.
But yes. does Odie get him? I mean,
well,
Odie's kind of dumb.
I think Odie is too stupid to understand.
Okay.
Because Odie is a dog. And not, like, a particularly intelligent dog. Because there have been times when he has communicated with other dogs. Like, especially ones that, like, he's trying to convince not to beat him up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like a Spike in Tom and Jerry type of thing. And they've clearly communicated back to him, but Odie, you know, never talks. He just, you know, drools.
Yeah. So I guess he doesn't communicate with them that much. Garfield has a weird world when you dig down into it too much.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it's all for the sake of Jim Davis's sense of humor, which is, you know, been going on for 30 years. So I think that he probably just like, I don't fucking know, man.
there are times where... I'm like, if a genie gave me the opportunity, he was like, just snap your fingers, you have a long-running comic strip in the newspaper, and you essentially just write, like, crappy jokes to fill out 7 days a week work of the comics, but you're just going to make a shit ton of money because you're serialized in half the newspapers in the country, and, like, you're never going to have to do anything else. I'm like, there's a lot of times I'd really consider doing it. There are times where I'm like, Jim Davis must hate being Jim Davis, but does have to be, like, infinitely small compared to the times.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, thank God I'm Jim Davis.
Well, you know, he gets opportunities to do a whole bunch of other stuff, too, because he's got that security.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there have been times when he's, you know, broken from formula and you know, he's got that security of, oh, well, you know, if this doesn't work, then whatever, you know, I still have Garfield. So.
He's like, I still got two movies with Bill Murray in them.
Oh, God. So, it's our Q&A episode, so we are going to start by asking each other questions.
Yes.
One question each. So my question for you, Chris, I am actually going to a wedding this weekend.
Ooh.
So, I mean, when you went to your sister's wedding, you told me all about that when that happened. But my question is, what is, like, the first wedding you can remember attending, like, ever?
Honestly... doesn't go back too incredibly far. I remember attending my cousin Scott's wedding, and I must have been like 12 or 13, I think.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, my oldest male cousin was getting married, and ironically, he's like one of two in my Irish Catholic family that is predominantly sons. To actually have gotten married since there was a huge, like, a 7-year gap between the next one getting married and none since then, even that. So it's been a while, but it was really fun. It was me, my brother, and then two of my cousins from basically that cousin getting married his younger brothers, who are about the same age as me and Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
So we mostly just hung out the whole time, and, you know, we went out. They were smoking a whole lot and getting a little drinking a little bit and just having fun, and then they all passed out. And I was taking pictures throughout the night. There's a pretty funny picture I have of my brother and my cousin shadow box each other, and my brother just went way too far in and just socked the guy right in the eye. And he had to, like, lie and tell his mom, like, oh, I just ran into a door. I'm so clumsy, like a battered housewife. So I had taken photos throughout the night, and there was one point my cousin was passed, like, my younger cousin was passed out scratching his butt, and I was like, oh, I gotta take a photo of this. So I took a photo, last one. About 5 seconds later, my brother and the older cousin are asleep in the same bed, and my brother, like, rolls over and drapes his arm across my other cousin.
No.
At which point he wakes up, sees what's happening, and is just so tired. He's like, what? And I was like, oh, no! Oh.
So you had one of those, like, because that would have been in with a film camera then.
Yeah, there were no digital cameras, there were no cell phone cameras. I didn't have a cell phone, period, at that point. So there's no way to take another photo at that point. And I'll always, it might be my biggest regret in life. It's like, oh, wow. It was so funny.
Some life you've led.
It was so funny. Like, it's a photo that I feel like it would haunt him for the rest of his life. Because it's definitely him, like, cradling my cousin in bed. I'm very ashamed. But, no, weddings can be a lot of fun. Especially if you know a lot of people who are around there. I think that tends to help a lot.
First wedding I can remember attending, I was actually, like, because I was, like, 6 years old, they made me, like, the ring bearer at, my grandfather getting remarried.
Mm-hmm.
Very distinct memory of, like, you know, they're about ready to, you know, put on the rings, and, like, they turn to me, and, like, where are the rings? And I'm like, oh, right, and I reach in my pocket. Here, ruin that one.
So, wait, you were that, like, kind of chill even as a kid? They were like, Nick, where are the rings? You're like,
it was more along the lines of me going, you know, like, oh, yeah! And then I got them, you know.
Yeah.
Because I just stuck them in my pocket as soon as I got them. You know, not even really thinking about how important they actually were. Because I was a little kid. Like, how am I supposed to know what the fuck these
rings are? Yeah, you're like, when do I go home and get to watch Inspector Gadget again?
Yeah, like, I watched that show.
I watch Inspector Gadget. How dare you? Me and Brain and Gadget and Penny, and there was a Chief. I don't know if he had a name. They might have. I think they just called him Chief.
And Dr. Claw.
I didn't do it for the
It must have been fucking murder for that guy to do that voice all the time.
He didn't talk a whole lot, though, so it couldn't have been too bad.
He just, like, has one line at the end of each episode. I'll get you next time. And then it's like, all right, give me my $10,000 paycheck.
Yeah, and then it's like, all right.
Not likely on a show like that. I don't think the budget was that high.
Yeah. Well, we'll just give you, we have one line this episode where you need to describe the plot, like, I hope Gadget doesn't make it there in time to stop the rocket. And then that's it. It's like he had a lot of monologues.
Check, please. Or would it have turned out like, no, actually it was like one person doing all the voices.
Oh, yeah, like, it's one dude who's just like, oh, I have a scene where Penny and Dr. Claw have to talk to each other. This would be a real easy jump between the two. Like, uh-oh.
Actually, I'm curious about that. I'm going to look that up. Okay, what's your question, though?
I've been doing a process recently where I, at the end of the week, on every Friday, I buy one new song. I'm trying to, like, build up a real music library and find new running songs and things like that. So on Friday, I always go in and buy one new song. And I want to know, like, what's your process in buying music, if at all?
When was the last time I actually bought music? Jesus Christ.
Because at this point, streaming music's so prevalent. Mm-hmm. You can just listen to whatever you want on YouTube. But I'm trying to kind of, like, build running playlists and things I can have on my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm going through it like that. But I've been trying to think, like, albums and things you buy, and I had to, like, stop it. I think you may have asked me this previously, like, what was the last album you bought or something like that? And I was like, I think it was Story of My Year or something, or Killswitch Engage, something that wasn't, like, super awesome.
I know. I'm pretty damn sure the last album I actually bought would have been Minutes to Midnight.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago now.
But I have to wonder if other people do this same kind of thing, or if buying music is considered, like, old at that point. I know buying albums is considered kind of old, because albums don't sell
Right, right. As much as individual songs do. Singles are much more important.
Yeah. Which is how now music is still at, like, volume 57, still going on. I assume that thing would have just died off once record sales stopped, but I guess that you could buy, like, 12 singles for $6.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how anyone else does it. Nicole, my girlfriend, just told me that she makes a point to, if there's an artist she likes who's, like, you know, independent, then she will, you know, buy basically all their stuff to, just as a means of, like, you know, expressing her financial support for them. Mm-hmm. Everything else, you know, is like this mainstream stuff, she'll just, you know, listen to stream or whatever because, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
They're going to make their billions one way or the other.
Yeah. Understandable.
Well, let me see if I can remember. There's that Weird Al song from...
Eat It?
No. Don't Download This Song, which goes, let's see, how else can I afford another solid gold Humvee and diamond-studded swimming pools? These things don't grow on trees. So, yeah.
I was just thinking the other day about Anakin Guy.
You mean the Saga Begins?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the actual song is.
My this year, Anakin Guy, because maybe Vader someday later. Now he's just a small fry. Right, yes.
Yeah. He left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye, saying, soon I'm going to be a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. I only thought about it because, like, I don't think I've actually heard that song since the video was playing. Still,
it's
on, like,
a really good goddamn song. Really good parody. Very good. Really good use of the lyrics. Apparently, he actually used internet spoilers in order to get the lyrics.
Seems weird.
Because he like put the song out like as Phantom Menace was released.
Yeah, it's true because it does mention that Qui-Gon dies in the movie.
Uh huh.
In the song, rather.
There were like really detailed spoilers online, and so he got all sorts of, you know, stuff like having Jar Jar and Boss Nass's names, and he actually knew how to pronounce Coruscant properly. Which, if you actually look the way it's spelled, it does not look like it should be pronounced that way.
Yeah.
Very well-researched song, and further proof that he is an amazing musical dork, so. All anyway, right. We should actually answer some of the questions people actually sent us.
Yeah, I suppose
several
so.
Multiple different topics that we could probably actually go on tangents about in that whole thing, but let's get to it. I guess I'll start us off.
Okay.
This comes from... Well, I guess there is no actual signature. Hey, Chris, capitalism rules, Larios, and Nick, I'd sell my own grandmother for a dollar, Freeman.
Nick, that's pretty harsh. I feel like she's worth a little bit more.
Mm. For how much of that sweet Patreon money would you jump the shark and review Homestuck? Well, Homestuck's not a manga. It's not. It's a piece of shit is what it is.
Oh.
There's your review right there. I hate Homestuck so bad. I wasted hours reading that thing because my friends promised me, oh, it gets good in like part 4 or what the fuck ever. Yeah, like imagine that, Chris. Like imagine if you read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and you were like, I'm not really getting into this Joseph guy, and Dio's a little too ridiculous for me. And then you read part 2 and you're like, no, I don't know, no, it's still not for me. You know, Joseph, a little better than Jonathan, but no, still not doing it. Part 3, no, still not doing it. It's like, no, part 4 is where he really gets good. Would you have been able to, like, keep up with that and keep on reading it?
No, because I can give you a real-life example of this. I hate the shit out of Final Fantasy 13, and everyone at the time told me, don't worry, it gets better 25 hours into the game. And I'm like, I'm not playing this piece of shit for 25 hours before it starts getting okay.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had no idea what Homestuck was, so I had to look it up. I assume the reference is how much would we need to put on Patreon for us to review a webcomic, to which I would say...
We have done webcomics, though.
Yeah, but we've done webcomics done in a manga style that are specifically kind of more... built as a traditional manga series, just right. Posted through a webcomic format. So I think that's probably about as sort of much we'll play with it. I feel like there are just too many manga series coming out and too many manga series recently, and then in the past that we haven't touched on, that I wouldn't want us to start going off on, like, tertiary things not really related to the show. I think you got, actually, just from asking the question, you found out what Nick thought of Homestuck.
There you go, for free.
Yeah, but I feel like otherwise, just send him in as a question in a Q&A, but otherwise I don't know if...
You would have to pay me a lot of money in order to get to reread that piece of shit. Like, I will fight whoever wants to come at me over this. Like, I hate that goddamn series. I hate it so much. It is an overrated, gimmicky, worthless, cliched, look at me, I'm being so clever, look, it's cool because video games, look, it's cool because it's a non-traditional format, piece of shit. I hate that goddamn comic. It is so terrible. Like, the thing that made me stop was the whole, it's a paradox because they caused their own birth thing, which at that point I was just like, no, fuck this, and I was done.
They caused their own births?
It has to do with... the.
You know what? I actually don't care. I'm just going to skip right over it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And it's this whole thing, because it's like, the world is basically like a video game, and it's built around, there's this whole stupid goddamn item storage thing that they have to explain all the time. The only thing that you can really say about it is that it's such a non-traditional format, because a lot of it is built around Flash and animation and stuff like that, as opposed to regular comics. Like, a lot of times the comic will actually be like a single, like, animated panel, and then the dialogue is beneath it, basically in like a chat sort of format. And it's a clever gimmick at first, because it makes it unique, but it gets really trying over time to actually read it. Like, there's a reason why comics are constructed the way they are. Mm-hmm. It's because it makes them, you know, easier to read, and it flows better. Whereas, oh, here's the action going on up here, and now I have to go down here in order to understand what the fuck's going on. So other than when they, like, go all out and be like, oh, here's this whole animated, you know, Flash scene with music, which makes it not a comic anyway, and it's like, well, it's not cool to look at anyway. Also, the art style is terrible. Also, I fucking hate Jade. She's such a goddamn annoying fucking character. It's been years since I read that comic. And I still hate it so much.
Well, there you go, person who sent the email in. You now know exactly what Nick thinks of Homestuck.
Okay.
All right. So we'll move on here. We got Carito Prime sent us in a couple questions. His first one is, when is Small Panel Big Picture coming back? So he's not coming at you with word right to left. He's asking when.
Well, that's not the title of it, so never.
There you go.
I am glad that you liked that video, though, the one I did on Speed Racer.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
It was definitely one that, like, brought out all the Speed Racer movie fans, though.
I still maintain it's not a god-awful movie, but I don't know.
In terms of that, like, if I decide to make a video again, I'll make a video. Like, okay. It's not a matter of, like, oh, Red Right to Left is dead forever, but I might do other videos. It's literally just, like, doing videos
specifically. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, the editing bug left me a while ago, so. I might get it back, though. I'm not going to say it's never going to happen.
Yeah, never say never. You could Ric Flair it in, like, 40 years down the line, you come out elbow-dropping jackets in a video. Like, let's talk about One Piece!
So when I have a kid... Everyone's going to be like, oh, it's Nick Freeman's kid. Surely they will be just as good at making videos. And to emphasize this, we will have Nick come out with them all the time to talk about how good they are at making videos and standing on their own while you're standing there and they're not standing on their own. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little bit too detailed in my current wrestling criticism right there. Anyhow, go on.
Are you guys ever going to review any yaoi / shonen ai? I ask because I have the suggestions on some series, but I'm not sure how much gay smut you were able to tolerate per series.
This comes right after the comment that it's one of my favorite episodes. One of his favorite episodes of mine is the Sex Pistols one.
Yeah,
which is basically the gayest thing I've ever reviewed.
So, for the longest time, we had kind of like a rule, like, we're not going to review any pornography, and then we did Akisora, and it's like, I guess if you find some that has some semblance of a plot. But truly, I don't think we have anything against Yaoi or Shonai. I just don't think we ever get recommendations for, per se. We don't get a whole lot of any sort of stuff. We get a lot more Yuri suggestions, but that's just because we have an official lesbian correspondent who sends us them very frequently. So if you have Yaoi / Shonai suggestions, you're free to send them in. If it's too smutty, if we look at it, we're like, this is just pornography with dialogue, you know, maybe that won't get in there. But otherwise, no, there's no reason that we wouldn't pick that.
Like, if it were just, like, a straight-up, you know, romantic comedy series that happened to have two guys instead of a guy and a girl in the main roles, then it's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, he says, I fucking hate Madara. He was a terrible villain, boring, and overpowered, and I'm kind of even mad at Kishimoto-sensei for robbing us of the small satisfaction having the heroes defeat him. That being said, he still managed to have one of my favorite lines in the entire series when he gets fully revived and claims, I can finally feel the thrills of battle again, blood flowing through my body as I crush the skulls of my enemies. I love that line. It is. I love that line. The 14-year-old in me would love it even more. So my question is, what are some of your favorite lines / moments in the series said by your least or one of your least favorite characters?
I think that every time that that's happened in a Weakmon recap, we have paid special mention to it.
Yeah, I tried to think of an actual answer for this one, but I could not think of a specific example, but I can almost guarantee if you went through old episodes of Weekly Manga Recap, you could find a moment where I'm like, I don't care for this character, but it's a cool line from them or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just one line doesn't specifically come up to me. But yeah, thank you, Kirito, for those questions.
This question actually set me thinking a lot about Etchizen.
Okay.
I wasn't able to come up with anything, but I just wanted you to know, like, I did delve into my, like, list of most hated characters in order to try and come up with a proper answer. Because, like, I don't really have, like, a Sasuke line or anything like that, you know, because all they ever talked about was fucking vengeance. So, even if he had a line that was particularly cool, it's like, well, it's all the same stuff he normally says anyway. So. Okay. Question. Is this one signed? Yes. Michael Hurt asks, hey, Chris, I wish I had so much money, roll out T, Larios, and Nick, why am I the ruler of time? I'm sure Doctor Who would give you a convoluted reason why, Freeman. Sorry, don't normally like asking so many questions in a row. Well, that's okay. We had an episode break before your last one. But I wanted to ask you before the idea left my brain. If I were to write a spoof story pilot pitch about Rizo of the Mist and Cat Viper living together in an apartment with Moosey as their landlord and Askanak Lavar as their rival roommate, would you guys read it in an upcoming episode of Weekly Manga Recap Lives?
I would say it's a good question. I would say I can't guarantee we will read it, but I absolutely would like to read that pitch. So yeah. Feel free to send that
in. We'd definitely love to read it, not necessarily go and say we'll read it out loud, though.
Yeah. Because you could fill it full of vulgarities and, you know, insensitive words. I'm like, wow, Ryza really likes dropping the N-bomb pretty casually. I didn't expect this. Thought Moosey was only supposed to move, but he has some very choice words about women.
See, here I thought that whenever he was saying nin-nin, that was for ninja. Oh, God.
No, not even close. He is just the worst. Alright, I got a question here from Thomas Burrell. Hello, Nick, sort of witty comment Freeman, and Chris, slightly forced phrase Larios. If you could pick a character from each of your weekly series to transplant into Shokugeki no Soma, which character would you pick, and what cooking style would replace whatever their supernatural powers they might have?
Well, I think we have to disqualify Toriko from this.
Well, here's the thing, I created two lists. One that's just silly, and one that's, like, slightly more serious.
Okay.
And I put Toriko characters on both of them. But I do agree with you that it is a little unfair. So I can discount them, if need be.
All right,
so my silly list, from Black Clover, I have Yami. His specialty style would be all foods from the foreign land he comes from, which is Japan. Okay. everyone's like, you cook Japanese food. This isn't unique. We all cook Japanese food.
That's great.
For Bleach, I have Kubo Mor, who creates specialty dishes meant for dogs. I have Lasana from Fairy Tail. Her whole gimmick
I'm just like imagining him like doing this intense preparation scene, all sorts of zoom and background effects. And he's like, it's finally ready. He lays out the dishes in front of the judges. It's just three dog biscuits.
Like a dog comes by, takes a bite, you see its face explode and all of its fur starts exploding off. Lasana from Fairy Tail, whose whole thing is she cooks meat dishes in animal-themed bikinis. I have Mineta from My Hero Academia. His whole thing is he makes food that's really perverted and makes all the women get extra horny. He basically makes, like, aphrodisiac food.
Mm-hmm.
I have Wanze from One Piece, who his whole thing is he does ramen kempo, so he cooks all of his dishes in a giant ramen noodle mech thing made out of ramen from his nose.
And at the end it's like, it costs like 25 cents to cook this!
I have Coco from Toriko, who has poison cooking, which no one can eat. And I have Tomo from World Trigger, who has his never-miss cooking style. He always wins his battles, but because he's so selective, he only takes battles he is guaranteed to win. He only battles against complete nobodies, and wow. No one really likes him. But then I have, like, a serious list. So, and for Black Clover, I have Fenrir. And he's got, his style is romantic global dishes. His whole thing in food, or in the manga, is he uses his spatial magic to kind of woo women. Like, let me take you to the top of this mountaintop. So it's like sort of the same thing. Like, yeah, he makes very romantic global kind of dishes. Bleach, I have Oscar Knocklevar. So he has essentially, like, potentially very disgusting dishes, but he is a very precise precision, essentially his death dealing. He makes it just enough that the food doesn't get gross, and because of that, it's like, oh, wow, all these flavors together, it's incredible. Gray, I have cold food, because he'd be like a cold guy, but I'm like, his clothes already explode off, so I just feel like he'd be a natural fit for the series thematically. I have Mineta from My Hero Academia, because I was like, you know what, the preferred food thing's funny? It's actually not a bad idea, considering all the things in that. Plus, he also has like a sticky food kind of gimmick to him. I have Usopp from One Piece. He's like trick cooking, kind of like what Soma does, but I guess a little bit more desperate measures. Komatsu from Toriko, but I guess that one's a little obvious. And then I have Nasu from World Trigger. Huh. She does all about compound abilities with her Trion, so sort of combining different flavors. That plus, I feel like she's just kind of a female archetype the series doesn't already have.
Hmm.
And also, I was like, wow, I'm going to do this list and there's going to be no women on it. So it's not going to work for Food Wars whatsoever.
Right.
Whose clothes are going to explode off?
Get, like, the bustiest character from World Trigger in there.
Yeah. This is only for week series from our weekly series, mm-hmm. people. So,
I didn't get a complete list, but I have Rukia from Bleach.
Okay.
Who would do all carrot and carrot-themed dishes because she's obsessed with rabbits.
That is a good one.
And I have Noelle from Black Clover, who just orders some servant to make the food instead. Because okay. She's a noble.
Yeah. She uses her money for it.
And I have Kana, who uses wine in all of her cooking. And probably just drinks it instead of everything.
Yeah, she probably just gets drunk as shit, passes out on the countertop.
Somehow she keeps on staying inside, saying it's Hotsuki. No idea how.
Yeah.
I was like, well, look at her. Her tits are too huge for her not to be a permanent character.
I mean, come on.
And that's as far as I managed to get.
Yeah, I like them, though. All right. I think that's all. Thank you very much, Thomas.
All right. This then comes from Andre Bolden. Dear Killer B, the Ruler of Time, and Baz BT.
I like this.
Do you remember my sterner question from months ago? No. Here is a follow-up.
Okay.
If you have to pick any Espada to be your roommate, who would they be?
I'm guessing that must be... The last question must have been which Quincy we'd want to be our roommate.
Right.
I don't know. Essentially, I don't... I mean, Stark. Stark's the only answer, I think, right? Because everyone else is a shithead and a jerk. Stark's like, I'm lonely and I'll stay off to the side and not bother you. Because everyone else is, like, an asshole or a weirdo. Like, I don't want to hang out with Halibel, or not Halibel, Bargon. Like, that old dude who's just going to be fucking lording himself over me all the time.
Halibel seems like the only other one who wouldn't be trying constantly to like, fight or kill you.
Yeah, like, everyone else is so antagonistic. Like,
because
Yami
would just, would crush you, just because he feels like it someday. Aranyero would want to eat you. Xalaparo would use you for some horrible experiment. Zomari is a weirdo who would probably take over your body and force you to kill yourself. Grimmjow's a fight-happy guy. He would probably kill you. Asnote, well, he's an asshole, too. He would kill you.
It's not Asnote, is it? Wasn't Asnote the fear guy?
Not Asnote. Noitora.
There we
go. Oh, no. I'm never going to beat Seki in that match. Right. Noitora would do that. Okiura, I don't know. Okiura was very subservient to Aizen. Didn't really seem to do anything else. I don't think that he would actually kill you for no reason. But even so, wouldn't like him as much as Stark, I don't think.
Yeah, Stark, also, I feel like if he's paying his rent, I feel like we're never going to have issues, because he's never going to be bothering me.
Right. The only other one that I could think of is, what about, like, the former Espada, like the Brivaran Espada? Would they count, too? Because, like, if they're on the table, and it's like, well, I want to do, I would take Nell, because she's, like, friendly, actively friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you count them...
She can spit on you to heal you if you get injured.
That's right, she did have that ability. Can I take her wacky giant tiki head friend?
Oh, Don Don Chaka?
Yeah, can I take him?
Or Pesh?
I think Don Don Chaka was the one with the huge head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I take him. He was wacky.
There's a great scene where he pulls his Zanbakuto out of his mouth, and it's like this fucking club. And he's like, "This is my sword!" And they're like, "Wait a minute.
Hold on. This doesn't make sense." Yeah, yeah. If I have to take one of the 10, I'd take Stark. That's the easy answer. So,
yeah, that's it.
Alright. Question here from Mulderman. Dear Chris, roaring through his microphone, T and Nick, why is my audio so quiet lately? Seriously, you guys might want to up that volume a bit, because you're hard to hear sometimes. Love the show, and you guys continue to be one of the highlights of my week. So any guilty pleasures, either manga-related or otherwise? To address the volume thing, that's something I'm always trying to work on. My computer has weird issues sometimes. I had this the other day where I was streaming, and people were like, it's hard to hear everyone else. And I was like, I'm going to try something, and this shouldn't work. I literally just changed my headphones from one pair to another pair, and everyone's like, perfect. I was like, I don't understand this. I don't get this. Any guilty pleasures, though?
Porn.
I feel no guilt about that. Jason Derulo. I still love... It is my number one guilty pleasure. I still love riding solo. I legitimately listen to that song as just pure enjoyment at times. In fact, a lot of my music catalog is guilty pleasures. Like any Crush 40 song or any Sonic the Hedgehog song that's on there. Like,
oh, that's not guilt. That's just awesome.
That's guilt for me when I hear other people looking at me when I have my plane on the bus. Like, uh oh, is this too loud? And then,
hanging on the end. No. Thinking about guilty pleasures, I'm always like, which one of those things am I too ashamed to admit? Oh, right, I'm not going to admit it.
Yeah, it is tough to be like, I'm ashamed about this, but I'll talk about it openly in a podcast downloaded by a lot of people.
I don't know. It's not something that I ever actually like think of normally, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you, Mulderman, for the question. Do we have any manga ones, I guess? Let's just quickly address that if we have any manga-related guilty pleasures. I can't really think of too many.
I mean... I am a little bit, you know, it's like whenever there's a series that kind of like, you know, is part of a genre that I don't normally like, and then I end up liking it, like, you know, kind of like Nisekoi, it's like, that's a little bit of a guilty pleasure.
Okay, yeah, I can, that's
like,
actually
it's cool. A, you know, romantic comedy, and it fills a lot of cliches and stuff, but it's like, boy, it's so funny, you know. I don't know, I'm pretty sure that I talk about that will explain if something is a guilty pleasure every single time we talk about a manga, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is from Campy. Dear Primal Y-Ruler of Time and Mega Rolo T, I've been listening to the show since the beginning and want to say keep up the good work, good sirs. You are both gentlemen and scholars. No, we're not.
Thank you.
I like your question numbering scheme here.
Yeah.
With the pleasantries out of the way, I have a few questions for you guys. One, what kind of recording software and equipment do you use for the podcast? Well, all the software is on Chris's end. We use Skype in order to chat, and I have a Blue Yeti microphone. It's my mic.
I have the same. I have this Blue Yeti recording software. We used to use, like, Pamela for a while, and then Call to MP3, I think it was called.
Pamela, you're such a bitch.
Yeah, that's. It was funny to me thinking about this question because I thought of Pamela. I was like, holy crap, there must have been episodes where we referenced Pamela being a filthy whore that I guess if you don't know the context for it at the time, you're like, they're really mean to this Pamela chick. They never bring her up again. But ever since my computer got, I got like the new PC, those didn't work on it. So I now use OBS to stream the podcast, and I also use OBS to record. So I essentially just record what we're streaming and then convert it after that to then edit it. And I edit with Sunny Vegas, in case you're curious about that as well.
Number two, when you do a review of your request, how do you read the series? Do you attempt to buy it if available, or do you utilize scanlations? I use what is to hand, basically. There are still some series out there that are simply not available except through unofficial sources, especially if it's like something really obscure.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys suggest, like, this Korean webcomic, there aren't official English releases of it, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
There just aren't.
I try to buy everything digitally as well. Like, we're about to do Pokemon Adventures, and I was trying to look for it. Apparently, it's not available digitally at all anymore. Like, the official digital release of it got removed for some reason. So it's not available digitally anymore. I picked up a couple volumes off Amazon, the print volumes, but it's like, look, you know, when these get through and they're not to fucking gold and silver, I'm shit out of luck at that point. I'm gonna have to find another way. But I always try to support the official release in some fashion. But yeah, as you said, not every series is actually available for purchase in one way or the other. But I significantly like it more when they have a digital release.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like Shonen Jump so much.
Mm-hmm. It's just really easy. Like, I love anything from Viz because I can just download it, put it on my Kindle, and then, you know, like, read it while I'm at work on my lunch or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Question C.
Okay.
The main protagonists of each of the currently running series have been dropped into the world of Yu-Gi-Oh! I must duel in a tournament in order to be sent home.
Oh, this is where Nick is just like, oh, yes!
They do not have their powers and must utilize the card game of Duel Monsters. What do you think their decks would be? What kind of archetypes or strategies would they use?
I'm going to leave this question entirely to you, because okay. I don't know any archetypes anymore.
Asta would use a Skill Drain deck. Skill Drain is a card that you pay 1,000 life points, and it stays on the field. As long as it stays on the field, effect monsters' effects are negated.
Okay, yeah.
He would use probably beatdown cards in conjunction with that, because, generally speaking, effectless monsters have higher attack and defense points in order to make up for it. And you would probably just, you know, win that way. There's also a few other cards that you could use. He might use cards like Fusilier Dragon, the Dual Mode Beast, and Beast King Barbaros, which their effects are you can summon them for free instead of tributing monsters, but their attacks go way lower. But then if you remove their effects, then they go back to normal. So you can just summon these giant monsters for basically nothing.
Yeah.
Ichigo is a bit tricky because his powers keep on fucking changing. We'll come back to him.
Okay.
Natsu, let's see. It's a bit tricky with Natsu because, like, he's fire, but he's also a dragon. And there are fire dragons, but there's no, like, fire dragon deck. You know what I mean? Mm. So he would probably use,
whatever deck Luffy uses.
Oh, God. He would probably use flamethrower. I want to say flamethrower. It's a bunch of fire and pyro and stuff. Soma. Let's see here. There are actually a bunch of cooking themed cards. I can't remember if any of them have been officially released or not yet, but there was literally a character in GX, one of the teachers, who had a curry themed deck, and like all of his monsters were like ingredients like potatoes and beef and so on and so forth, and as they were all destroyed in battle, he could then put them in like the cooking pot in order to summon his ace monster.
This sounds stupid.
It was pretty crazy. GX had some stupid one-off decks. But he would use one of those. He might actually just use that one, honestly.
He might just take it.
Let's see, Food Wars, My Hero Academia. Well, Deku was easy. He would use Elemental Heroes.
Okay, yeah.
And he would probably start off using Judai in Anime GX, his deck, with all of his crappy normal monsters that he better fucking Luxac polymerization in order to use his fusions. And then eventually, as he gets better, he would just get Judai from GX Manga, who actually used good elemental heroes.
One Piece.
Yeah, we'll skip over Raku. Because, well, actually, there were several romance-themed decks, too. Luffy is difficult. I don't think there's actually any pirate-themed anything.
There's no pirate-themed decks in Yu-Gi-Oh?
I mean, not decks. There are pirate-themed individual cards, but not decks.
How about Yu-Gi-Oh? Or how about Luffy plays that a pirate-themed Hearthstone deck, and everyone's like, these games aren't compatible. This won't work.
God, is there a pirate deck? Nah, there's nothing really. I mean, there are water cards, I guess. Maybe he could use mermails, which are, you know, mermaids. I don't know. That's a little bit... There's nothing that quite fits him properly, you know? At least thematically. I'm sure that there could be, like, you know, a playing style that suits him best, but, I don't know. A lot of decks in Yu-Gi-Oh! Are very samey anyway. One Piece, Toriko. Oh fuck! I've already done food.
You could have a beast deck, like big.
He would use a beast deck, yeah.
And he just thinks about how hungry they all make him.
Right. And Yuma.
I actually like what Aaron Rolls 380 says. Luffy would use a random deck full of high power cards, but it's awful because he doesn't get it.
Is that what it was called? Yeah, it was. What do they stand for? It was Tech Genis, I want to say. Yuma would use a Tech Genis deck, which is all futuristic stuff. People who actually know the decks would know what I'm talking about. But okay. It's all very sci-fi weaponry stuff. And we have to go back to Ichigo, and I was hesitant to say he would just use a Six Samurai deck, because they're not quite samurai, because of the, you know, spiritual thing, and also his fucking powers keep on changing. I think that's probably actually the best match out of the easy answers. So there you go. He'll probably use a bunch of different warrior decks and shift between them, because there are plenty of goddamn warrior archetypes to switch between. And there you go.
Boosh. Done.
Okay. Let's see here. Oh, question ampersand. What if each of the primary antagonists of the currently running series were given one Millennium item? Who would receive which item and why? Okay, let's break this down real quick. The seven Millennium items are the puzzle, the rod, the eye, the ring, the key, the scales, and the necklace. So the necklace allows you to see the future. The eye allows you to see people's thoughts. The puzzle has, you know, Yami inside of it. The ring has the Thief Bakura inside of it. The rod has Yami, Merrick, Evil Spirit inside of it. And it can also control people's minds. The key allows you to walk inside of someone's inner thoughts, and I don't think that they ever actually used the scales, but it was, like, used to fucking judge people. Let's see. Asta would have the puzzle so that he could have someone smarter tell him what to do. I don't know. A lot of the puzzle items... A lot of them are kind of evil. A lot of them have very similar powers, too. Like, I mean, the key and the eye aren't that different when you get down to it. And the ring and the puzzle aren't that different.
Yeah, it's sort of like, who would want this evil spirit inside of them?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really want to break it down, it's like, okay, I guess you could say, like, oh, okay, the eye would go to Yuma because of the... Because, you know, you can tell when people are lying, and the eye can allow you to see people's thoughts and stuff. But other than that, eh. They're a little too samey, you know?
Yeah. Understandable. Well, thank you for the questions there.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we got Supernova RX here. It says, hey, Arceus, Y, Arceus Ruler Time, and Rollo Mega Aggron T. I have more questions for you guys. If you got stuck in the digital world from Digimon, how would you survive it for a year in terms of human time? And you can only obtain one digi-egg to raise a Digimon to help you. Now, I had to stop and think about this for a little bit, because the way it's phrased of a year in human time, I'm guessing, I have to assume what he means is it's a year in my perception, because if it means a year in the human world, that's like fucking you're staying in the digital world for like 2 decades. Because time in the digital world goes much slower. Like, they were in the digital world for like 2 months, and they came out, and they were like, barely any time's passed. And then they were back in the human world for a couple weeks, and it's like, oh no, 5 years passed while you guys were gone. So if it's a year in the human world, there's no way I'd survive. That's just forever. I don't think I'd do great in the digital world. I don't know if anyone really would. Yeah. It's sort of like saying, hey, could you survive being tossed into Jumanji, except the monsters can throw mountains at you? Like, I don't know. I hope so, maybe if I stay away from, like, the dangerous areas, but yeah, I really don't think I'd do too great on my own specifically.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Second, how do you think Bakugo would do as a cook?
He would be very entertaining.
I don't think he'd actually be bad as a cook. Like, I know Bakugo's an angry, spontaneous kid, but we know he's smart. Like, we know he applies himself, actually. Like, he's a good student. And we know he actually is relatively responsible. Like, we haven't gotten the idea he's a lazy, kind of shitty kid. So I feel like if he actually applied himself to cooking, he probably could make something pretty decent. He's not going to make anything delicate, I don't imagine. But I could see him, like, he's making, like, barbecue and shit like that. Anything that's, like, violent to cook. I'm sure he'd be all over that. And third, how would you guys make a devil fruit dish? Well, the devil fruit is notoriously god-awful, and some have said it's the worst-tasting thing ever. So I would put some devil fruit on a plate, and then I would put a Five Guys burger next to it, and a pile of honey mustard, and I'd say, eat the fruit first, and it's gonna suck, but just eat the burger afterwards.
It turns out that the devil fruit is for toxicity to honey mustard and hamburgers.
I'm like, oh no. I'm not even sure if that's the right call anymore, because after I ate that rotten egg jelly bean, I tried to eat so many things afterwards, and it was so gross and hard. I have trouble eating mints now, because I ate so many mints afterwards that now my body, like, almost associates the taste of mints with that rotten egg jelly bean. So I don't even know if it's the best idea to eat something good afterwards. I'm like, just eat this devil fruit and be sad for a while. Yeah, thank you, Supernova RX.
Right, so this question comes from a fan.
Oh.
If you had to create the rules for the official WMR podcast drinking game, what would they be? I don't drink, so, I mean...
I mean, a couple easy rules would be, like, every time
we go off, on a tangent.
Yeah, drink for that. Drink every time you mention Pop-Tarts or Honey Mustard.
Just, I guess, drink each time we start the next series.
I drink every time sucking dick comes up on the podcast, which is a surprising amount of time. I don't know if we can make the rules ourselves, though, because I think that's something that like fans of something have to create, because they notice like the commonalities probably more than we would.
Right.
But I think that's a good starting point, at least.
It's much easier to be conscious of those things as observers than as us, you know, doing stuff off the cuff.
Yeah, drink every time is a wrestling reference. Mm-hmm.
I also say, Air Gear for best reviewed series of 2017.
I think we're going to get to that before 2017. We got some stuff in the works, potentially even a new tier coming up. I think we're going to get to Air Gear before the year ends. Alright, we got a question here from Moss8705, and he has sort of a long explanation to this, so I'm just going to have to abridge. Essentially, he found an image on Facebook, and it's Why Watch Anime? What Does It Teach? And it's kind of a little bit like those old meme things that came up for a little bit, that's like, what I do, what I think I do, what my parents think I do. It's formatted like that, but it's essentially like, you know, what lessons does anime teach you? And it's like family for One Piece and human life under Attack on Titan. And he's commenting on it because under, you know, the picture of Fairy Tail has women's rights on it. And he, you know, he's saying like that's a joke, you know, it doesn't teach women's rights, but he wants to know, do we consider Fairy Tail to show off the best of women's rights? If so, why? If not, which would we say instead best shows it off, or to some degree, empowerment of women? No series that we've ever read has ever done anything to show off women's rights. Because women's rights is not at all, I think, what that thing was even trying to get across. Like, women's rights would be if a manga was making a point about women not getting paid equal wages or something like that. Like, this manga, Fairy Tail, does nothing to push forward women politically or their place in society or something like that. I think female empowerment would be probably closer to that. Also, this image spells it women's right, so you probably shouldn't take it too seriously to begin with. I like it's women's right, too. They get one right
from Fairy Tail. They have one right.
They get one right from Fairy Tail.
You all get one. They ask, why watch anime? What? It teaches ya.
Yeah.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, sacrifice spelled with an S at the end. Look, Fairy Tail is a series that does ultimately, of most of the series we read, is one of the better ones for showing women off in a positive light, in terms of at least it gives its female characters like legitimate combat moments in the series more than most of the other series you read. Its downside, though, is that it's constantly using them for fan service as well. It's a little bit of the same situation we had with Freezy, though not nearly to the same extent, but it is still that same thing of, like, you lift them up with one hand, but then you kind of push them back down with the other one. I would honestly say of any series out there, I think probably World Trigger is the one with the best sort of example of female power, just because there's, like, off the top of my head, there's three...
They're just, you know, treated the exact same way as the guys.
Yeah, there's three very notable, powerful female characters within the front-end characters of the series, Ruchika, Konami, and Kitora. So, I think that's the series that probably does it the best, but I definitely wouldn't say female empowerment is what the best thing to draw out of Fairy Tail, unfortunately.
Right, I mean, I don't think that I have ever... read a manga that made a point of, you know, women's rights, which is probably mostly a cultural thing, you know. There are just different ideas of gender roles between the cultures, and in terms of, like, how much they're in flux. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to see too many in general that, like, treat the idea of, like, you know, This is about, you know, women's rights and how women are held down, so on and so forth, without it, you know, facing strong criticism or, you know, being like, oh, this was poorly written, it's very ham-fisted, and so on and so forth. Like, every time that, you know, you really make a big deal out of women's rights in, like, a prominent way, then people are like, oh, this is, you know, social justice at its worst, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Like, even just, like, because, you know, you look at, like, the whole thing with Rey in Star Wars, the thing with the female Ghostbusters and stuff, They're like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, women being put in these prominent roles because it's, you know, it's, you know, people trying to be politically correct. Mm-hmm. Even when they're not making a deliberate point about, you know, women should have the same opportunities as men and so on and so forth. Even if that's not the point and they just kind of do it, then there's still that criticism. And I think you're going to be hard pressed to find an example of like any work that actually is like, we're going to talk about, you know, how women are not treated equally, how they're given different professional opportunities, how they're treated different socially, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and not have someone immediately stand up and go, well, actually.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So, yeah, it is, you're absolutely right. It's very different to have female equality among characters and have it be deliberately about female empowerment. And in terms of what you say about fairy tales specifically, Urza, the fact that she is, for the most part, treated as, you know, one of the strong members of the series in fights, that does deserve compliments.
Yeah. I mean it when I say it's probably outside of maybe World Trigger, just because World Trigger doesn't have the same fan service, but if, you know, barring that, I would say Fairy Tail is the best at giving female characters legitimate things to do and making them a strong aspect of the series.
But that is definitely very different than, oh, this is about women's rights. Yeah. But I'm going to stop talking because I'm going to start repeating myself.
Yeah. No, it's a very good question. Thank you, Moss, for that.
All right. Next question. This says specifically, to be read by Chris, please.
Oh, okay.
So I'll do two in a row after this.
All right, fair enough. This is from Drew. He says, Dear Nick, why Ruler of Time and Shoe Polish Freeman? And Chris, royalty brought Coke to the fancy party areas. Hi guys, I sent you an email over a year ago and Nick seemed confused by it because I didn't have any criticism, questions, or suggestions, just compliments and sharing my mental image of Hyosuke turning Yuwabok's forearm into a rear. That was over a year ago for us, so like an hour and a half ago in Bleach time, right? Anyway, on to the question. I have one for each of you, but both of you can answer if you want, and then questions for both. So he wants me to read it, but the first question's for you. I find that suspect. Nick, you've talked about how bad Bleach has been over the years, especially after the Fullbringer arc. So I have to know, who is the best character that has debuted after the start of the Fullbringer arc till now?
And not Master Nocklevar.
And not in a comedic way like Master Masculine's awesome wrestling personality or Grimley's uselessness. I mean, what character do you think has been the most interesting character to read about?
Asuka Nocklevar.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that.
I mean, he's funny, but he was also a very consistent and intriguing character.
Absolutely, I think he was an excellent gun. Chris, I've been listening to back episodes of the podcast, and you thought I'd quit listening to you guys immediately. And way back in August of 2013, you said if World Trigger was still running in 3 years, that you would probably hate Jin because of all the traits. He has all the traits of characters you hate. Well, with that three-year mark coming up, or having passed, depending on when you read this, we get to them a lot quicker than that, thank you very much. Do you think that past Chris will be proven wrong, or will Ajiara do something to make us hate Jin?
He's going to have to do it really fast, isn't he?
And what would Jin have to do to make you hate him? I mean, besides having Jin sleep with or kill either Osamu or Kitora or anything else to sink the Osamu Kitora ship. When it comes to that, I was not correct in thinking he'd be annoying, but that's only, I think, because Ashihara is so talented as a writer that he hasn't written Jin to be completely obnoxious yet. I still think it's a character whose purpose in the story is inherently bad for the story, because a character who has foresight just tends to be problematic in any kind of fiction story. It's essentially a character who is a spoiler. He just exists to tell you things that are going to happen in the future. Now, Jin isn't as bad as he could be because he's not overused, he's not confident or cocky about his predictions, and he doesn't always foresee the exact future. He always sees, like, possibilities. But Jin can still be annoying. And we actually did have a small instance where he annoyed the shit out of me. Now, granted, it was because of translation and my interpretation of it, but when Jin was like, Tachikawa is going to get taken down, and I'm like, oh, so that means someone could potentially kill him. It's like, no, Gatlin could beat him one-on-one in a try-on battle combat. Like, it's just one of those things where for his predictions to have dramatic potential at the time, it then has to be like, well, either it's going to play off exactly as he says, which is boring to read. There's going to have to be some kind of twist that it's not exactly what he sees, in which case that's kind of boring. Or it just doesn't happen at all, or he doesn't use the power at all, and you're like, well, this, you know, extremely powerful ability isn't being used. I don't think Jin falls into a lot of those issues. I think Ashihara has been writing around that really well. But this character does have a strong potential to make, to be a bad influence on the series. So I don't hate Jin, I just think he could potentially be a really bad thing for the series.
And then we got a trio of questions all on the same topic.
Yes. So, have you ever given any thought to doing a look back at series you've been reading around? Like, since next year is One Piece's 20th anniversary, doing a retrospective on what's happened so far like you did on Naruto when it ended. Yeah, we could definitely consider doing that. And a list question, because I know you love those so much. Let's see, you're born in Naruto universe with some kind of Kekkei Genkai, like the Sharingan.
Kekkei Genkai.
Whatever. And then you fell into a hole into the One Piece universe, and ate a double fruit. And then you fell into the Bleach universe and somehow got the powers of some group there. I don't know, you just do. Anyway, with all that set up, three questions. A, what combination of powers would make you the most overpowered? B, what combination of powers do you think we would have the most fun with? And finally, what combination of powers would make you think the multiverse just hates you? So it's like, what are the best? What are the ones you'd have the most fun with? And I think, I assume the last one's what one would be the worst is the collection of powers.
Most overpowered, Sharingan. Yami Yami no Mi. And, something from Bleach. It doesn't really matter at that point, though.
I have Sharingan. I didn't know if it's you could take exact powers from Bleach. That's just what I went with. So I'm like Aizen's power and then the Pika Pika fruit. So same sort of thing, a Logia, but you can't be hurt by physical contact. And since you're light, you could presumably move close to, if not at light speed. So I was like, that seems pretty fucking hideously broken.
Mm. And also be able to, you know, predict people's movements. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the most fun, though. I'm always thorough about those kind of questions.
I came up with one that I think would be amusing. So, I take Choji's size-changing ability.
Okay.
Then I take Blue Nose Door Door Fruit. And I take the Jackpot Knuckle from Bleach. So I just open a door, appear behind someone, grow myself super huge, and punch them. And I'm like, let's just see what happens. And I just do it over and over again and just see what happens.
Okay. I do have a pretty quick answer for the third one, though.
Okay.
Ganju's powers, because what the fuck ever. With Suigetsu's power to turn into water, and then just any devil fruit.
So you constantly can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly, because you're just like, oh no, water!
I had one where you have Shino's bug power, so all the bugs live inside of you, and then you get the poison devil fruit, so anytime you try to use it, you just instantly kill all the bugs inside of you because they can't survive. And then, I don't know, you just, Ganju. That is in there to be like, this sucks.
Poor Ganju. Oh, boy.
Yeah, all right. But, thank you, Drew, for those questions.
Alright, I'll do two for now. From Supernova RX. Hello, Yahoo Ruler of Time and Rolo T-Mobile. First, how would you do a romantic comedy...
I get it. It took me a moment.
How would you do a romantic comedy version of Bleach between the Soul Reapers and Quincy's without it being like Romeo and Juliet?
I don't even comprehend what that question means.
If you're dividing them up that way, it's got to be at least vaguely reminiscent of Romeo and Juliet, because you're talking about doing a star-crossed lovers plot, and there's no way it can't be somewhat like Romeo and Juliet.
They're like, no, but we'll just make it like West Side Story. Like, I don't know
that's
how to
not
tell
a,
you
that's
this.
Not like no, it'll just be like The Lion King 2.
Yeah.
It's completely different from Romeo and Juliet. I mean, that's kind of an impossible request, man. Second, what is your weirdest nightmare? For me, the Lucky Charms leprechaun turning into a full-size werewolf and attacking me.
I went to a Chinese restaurant with the cast of Little Bear, and we drowned in a tar pit.
Nice! I think that I've talked about my nightmare before.
Yeah. with the monster.
The monster at the end of the hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it for me. Go back and watch and listen to that in the episode. It was a weird little story. Third, you guys are at a magical hot spring, where anyone or anything you want is in there, but only one of you can enter. But the only way is to beat the other in an epic 3-versus-3 side Chinese checkers. Who would win?
I don't even get this question. It's like there's a pool with anything possible in it, but only one of you can get in there, so you have to win a 3-on-3 Chinese checkers. I'm like, who are we picking from? Who's the options? I know I'm going to suck, so I can get like 2 national championship Chinese checkers players I'm going to. But
that's not the question, though. The question is who wins?
I don't know Chinese checkers.
Fourth, would you guys ever do a Pokemon Let's Play on YouTube?
Possibly.
Maybe.
I've done Pokemon Let's Plays before. I never put them up on YouTube, though. Kind of like, I don't know, it's like throwing up
a
parody video on YouTube. Like, it's really gonna, you really aren't gonna get much traction on that.
Mm-hmm. And fifth, what advice would you give Raku in Nisekoi? Hang on for 3 more chapters.
I was actually going to have a piece of advice to give him, but then this chapter came out and essentially did. So, I love the series Boardwalk Empire, and there's a quote in it I absolutely adore. Nucky Thompson's, like, the main character. He's faced with a really hard decision, and he asks Arnold Rothstein for help, and Arnold Rothstein is essentially, like, another mob guy, but he's also a gambler. And he gives him this quote where he's like, well, what should I do? And he's like, do what I do. Flip a coin. And then when it's in the air, you'll know which way you want it to land. I always like that phrase.
That's cool.
I love that line, and that's essentially what they do in Nisekoi this week when she was like, "Imagine all this stuff."
Who's
and
the person
and,
you want to tell this?
Yeah.
To?
So I'm like,
the first that comes to your mind.
I'm like, that's essentially the same sort of premise to it. You know who you actually want. So I'd give that advice to him. He's like, you're a week late, asshole.
No, that's very sage advice. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then my second one I'm reading. Is there a name on this?
Doesn't seem so.
Nope. Dear White Ruler of Time and Royalty, apologies, couldn't think of anything witty to add. Don't worry about it. My question is, in regards to pacing in a story, I know you have mentioned before how some stories or manga speed through the main plot while others seem to take their time or drag out this plot in favor of filler and side stories. Someone who is writing his own story/comics/manga, I was wondering, what do you two consider good pacing in a story? Well, that's like, what's the meaning of life, you know?
Yeah, it's a really subjective sort of thing, too. Because, I mean, I like the pacing in World Trigger, but that wouldn't work for all series sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think pacing really should just come down to giving time for things to develop or things to sit, but at the same time, not taking forever to get places and things like that. It's really, it's almost impossible to describe. It really comes down to what sort of story you're telling, how much time you have to tell it, and like, the pacing for a movie is going to be completely different for a manga, it's going to be completely different for a television show, like, you know, it's tough to say, but essentially it comes down to making sure you're getting the most out of what your story has to offer, I suppose.
It's a lot easier to point at something and be like, this didn't do it right, as opposed to, this is how we make this up from the beginning.
So. I'll tell you what sucks with pacing, superhero television shows that aren't Netflix. I've come to this decision now, I just won't watch any of them. 22 episodes is way too much time for these fucking shows to have. I can't get through it, Nick. There's like 7 or 8 episodes a season that are just like, we need to fill this up with something, so it looks like everyone's dead, but then time travel or something. I don't know. What do you... Stop complaining about it. Look at your superheroes dance.
Time to go watch DCAU instead. and a second question. In regards to story versus characters, what do you believe is more important? While both are essential to telling a story and should be so that both are good, I find characters to be the more important aspect than the story. The story is the driving force that moves the characters forward into different situations. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think that intriguing characters are more important than the story that they inhabit. It can be a bummer if, you know, really cool characters don't have very interesting things to do. But if you like a character, then you want to see them do stuff. If something really interesting is happening to a boring character, you don't really care that it's happening to them.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with characters as well. I loved Lost, and Lost was primarily a character-driven show. Like, there was good story going on, but it was all used to enhance the story of these characters. So, I think characters are generally more interesting. But I have seen series and things in the past where I'm like, this is definitely a story-driven show. You know, the characters aren't bad, but it's something where the world is more interesting than the people in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on, we have a question here from Sig. He says, "Hello, Nick Y. Dragonhead, and Chris, I suck at nicknaming you, so I'm not going to try."
Thank I got you. A pretty damn good nickname, though. Nice nice old school Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference.
Yeah. Scenario, you're forced to stay on a deserted island for a few months. You are not allowed to escape before time is up, and for company slash eating and survival, you may choose one character from any manga to join you. Whom do you choose? I've picked who I'm going to go with. And it's shockingly not a chick to be like, I'm going to bang you throughout this next like 3 months. I went with Zoro from One Piece.
Really?
My logic being, there's no one I could pick who I'm going to enjoy my time with. Being trapped with anyone on an island for that long, you're going to eventually hate them. Like, I could be like, Cat Viper. And like the first week, might be like, this sad guy's so funny. A week later, I'm gonna be like, I fucking hate this cat thing. I goddamn hate him. So I'm gonna.
He keeps us just getting distracted by random little things instead of helping us build the fucking,
the shelter. Shack. God damn it! He keeps scratching everything and destroying walls. So I'm going into this saying I'm gonna hate Zoro. Like I know I am, but I feel like Zoro's gonna be like first and foremost he's gonna protect us. Like there's no way any animal on the island's going to just like, kill us because I'm like he knows where those are and he'll kill them back before they can. But I feel like he's gonna like. Do training, and I feel like he could just train me at the same time. So this is going to be like a shitty couple months, but when I get off that island, I'm going to be in great goddamn shape, and I'm going to be like, look, I was stuck there, I might as well have made the best of it.
I'm going to go a very slightly different route and say Sanji.
Okay.
Because he seems like he would understand what to do in that kind of situation. He already has survived before from when he was a little kid. And had the ship, you know, looking after him.
Yeah.
So he's familiar with that situation, knows how shit it is. And also, he can make us fucking food. So there you go.
Okay, I can take it.
Plus he would defend us.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from...
Do you worry at all, though, that you're a dude? Because doesn't he have a thing where he only likes cooking for women?
I don't know.
You're like, I'll just see what happens. I'll wear a wig.
Stuff some coconuts into my shirt.
It's like, you gonna shave your beard? No. Use your imagination.
I'll put a veil on, I don't know. Questions from Corito Prime. Hello, crew, and happy, June?
May. Thank you very much.
Two World Trigger related questions. Number one. Numero uno, sorry. If you two were to be part of a border squad, what would you name it, and what honorary member of the podcast would you choose as your third person as well as your operator? Would it be Annalisa? Would it be Steve Man? Would it be Infamous Planet? Or though they say the Infamous Planet?
I mean, it would depend a little... Yeah, no, actually, for third man, it's Annalisa. I mean, she loves World Trigger. I can't think of anyone who's going to enjoy that position more than her. And I don't know what we do for names. I guess it would depend on who we consider. Yeah, we could just be WMR1, I guess, like Tamakoma, essentially. Like, we base it off of where we are rather than an individual. So, yeah, well, WMR1 with you, me, and Annalisa.
Mm-hmm. Out of those options... I mean, we can't have Infamous be our operator because, I mean, come on, seriously.
You can't have him do anything. He's World Trigger. He's not gonna. It's not gonna bother.
Let's see. I'm not sure. I don't think Tekking would be a good fit for that role.
You could give, if you want, you could put on Lisa on Operator, too. I'm sure she'd love
that, just
going
to do both?
Yeah, she's like, I love this, too.
I actually think that Jake would be a pretty good choice for Operator.
Okay.
Jacob. Because if you recall back when we did the Last Airbender video, it was pretty much one person making sure that we stayed on track.
As I'm like busy doing blowjob motions behind him the entire time, and it's just him like, please!
I believe that the exact words were, come on guys, act half your age.
I was just like, no!
Pretty good burn on there. So I think that out of all the people that we know that have appeared semi-regularly on the podcast, it would have to be him. Numero dos, what would your squad uniform look like? Would it be a military uniform? Would it be long coats? Would it be magical girl uniforms?
I don't think
anyone. What about
ripping
off other manga's uniforms, such as Leech Shinobi, or whatever Soul Society soldiers are called?
I have an answer for this, especially if Annalisa is our third. We're going in as Ninomiya squad. Like, we all dress like him. So we all, like, you and me, it's sweet. Like, we go in, we're in these fucking pimp-ass suits. And Annalisa's like, this suit's cool, but I fucking hate Ninomiya. God damn it! And this is us, like, it's a sweet-ass costume, though. Because my only other idea was we all dress like Nasu squad solely to piss her off. She's like, this costume's so ugly. And you guys aren't flattered by it at all. I'm like, no, we're not. But god damn it, I appreciate that it annoys you.
Yeah, we're like, what are you talking about? We're rocking it.
Yeah, look, my racks never looked better.
That was a good question. I like that.
Question here from Supernova RX. Dear Yveto, ruler of time, and Rolo Terrakion, I don't know, Terrakion? Terrakion?
Terrakion?
Terrakion's probably it. Terrakion, period. That's the T. What is the most stupid manga moment you have read?
Single most stupid manga moment.
There's so many options. I mean, if Air Gear had a plethora, I wish there was a screw to stop this sorrow. President Obama turning into a 15-year-old Japanese schoolgirl. Freezing, having Statalizer forgive her brother. Chaotic Ruin, having the main character chastise the young girl for trying to kill someone as he then kills her, the person she was fighting against. Like, yo, dare you take a life? Oh, and wiping her memory. That was fucked up. I guess that's not stupid as much as fucked up, but...
Let's see. Batum.
Batum.
Had plenty of stupid moments. Just like, why do we trust this guy? There was a whole ton of Future Diary in terms of the stupid plans that series came up with. See Nick's half-asleep rant for details. And all of Spider-Man. Just all of Spider-Man.
Just all of it.
Pretty damn stupid. Brain Ajar.
Brain Ajar. That is very stupid. That actually might win it.
Like, basically, you're just asking me to name my highlight reel from this podcast is what you're doing.
Second, if you two, Annalisa, and Infamous get kidnapped by Frosh Fiori and Azon in the middle of a Tuesday at a Taco Bell, how would you escape? Why this kind of question? Why not?
What are these details?
I don't know. I'm skipping over because it's applesauce. There you go. I answered your question. Third, how would you do Freezing as a Disney's kids show? You would not. Next question. And last, who is more OP, Azon or Xehanort? I'll be honest... What's up?
Who's Xehanort?
Xehanort is the main antagonist of the Kingdom Hearts series now.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be honest, as much as I've played the Kingdom Hearts games, I don't honestly know that many specifics about him. I think he appeared in Birth by Sleep, and then I kind of saw him for the first time in Dream Drop Distance. I know he's insanely powerful, but I don't think he has anything specific to him in the same way. Like, Aizen's like, I can literally control your senses the moment you see me. Like, all I know about Xehanort is he's absurdly powerful, but I don't... Like, in context, who's more OP between them? I think it would just be Aizen, just because I don't think Xehanort has anything specific to him beyond being strong, quote-unquote. You know, I don't know any specifics about him beyond that, so I'd say Aizen. But I could be wrong. I don't know all of my Kingdom Hearts lore anymore.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that we'll at least try and get through all of our March questions.
Yes.
Screw On is from Jack Lebrano, a.k.a. Screwing On, a.k.a. Dr. 14, and all the other aliases I use. Dear Undead
Is he like in the Witness Protection Program? Why does he have so many aliases?
Dear Undead Unohana and Rebecca, ... who's never going to be an important character.
Damn straight.
If you or Chris, I guess you ask, actually ask Unohana and Rebecca, or Chris had a bar similar to that of Bartender and the protagonist of all the series you've read, including Naruto and Yula. Okay, regular series we've read, not every series we've read.
Yeah, it's like, all right, what would you guys give to the skip beat? And we'll move on. What about Togari? What are you going to give that guy for advice?
Go to bar, hang out, and drink to forget about their various problems. What drink would you give each one, and what life advice would you attach to it? I don't know, I'm an alcohol.
Yeah, like, you have Nick in there. Someone's like, give me a Manhattan.
I've had an Angry Orchard.
They're like, give me a Manhattan. You're like, sure. You just pour water into a glass.
Just kind of, like, pour, like, Budweiser into a beer and kind of, like, scribble an Empire State Building onto the side.
As you, like, give it to him, you're like, you start singing, like, the Alicia Keys New York song. That's something dreams are made of. I'll make you feel
like,
brave.
You don't even know the words of the song. What the fuck are you doing?
It's just the chorus. It's not even a song. It's Jay-Z's.
Like, give it to Asta and be like, you really need to stop lusting after that nun. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you really should. She's just not that into you. She has taken a vow of celibacy. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know how nuns work in your world.
It might be different. I think I would just offer everyone an Irish car bomb. I'm like, this is the best drink.
And then the ones that can't stomach it, them that you actually bother giving advice to.
Yeah, and every person I give the exact same piece of advice to, I'm like, flip a coin. And it's in the air.
You
don't know which way you want it to land. The guy's like, my dog died. I wasn't making a decision today. I'm like, well, do you want to get a new dog? You flip a coin. When it's in the air, you're going to know if you want a new dog or not. That's $12 for the car bomb. He's like, what the fuck? It's like eight times what they should cost. I'm like, yep.
And Luffy's like, what's love? Can I eat it?
I'm like, this kid knows what he's talking about. More car bombs for him, because I don't think he knows how much these cost. I don't think he can read.
Luffy's like, wait a minute, I don't drink.
No, there's meat in them.
Oh, God. And in case someone asked that question already.
No one has. You're still safe.
Which manga do you think represents Western superheroes the best? I have detailed thoughts on this. I actually did an article on for Anime News Network recently. You should just read that, honestly.
I didn't know you did another one.
Yeah, it's about how Western and Japanese series have treated superheroes differently.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think it's called just like All Might versus Superman, how our heroes are different. I think that's what they ended up titling it. I didn't come up with the title. I literally put in the body of the email I sent it in, I have no idea what to call this.
Please fix.
Yeah. A follow-up question to this is, who do you think might be the spy/traitor mentioned in this week's, at the time of writing, My Hero Academia? And we did discuss this in when that came up initially. In that case, in case that was answered before April or May came along, do you listen to any other podcasts aside from the Shonen Jump one? I listen to two different wrestling podcasts. One is called OSW Review, Old School Wrestling Review. They do just wrestling storylines and go through them pay-per-view by pay-per-view and just are three Irish guys having a laugh at them. They started off with the Hulkamania era, and after they eventually finally got through Hulk Hogan's time in the WWF, they just went on to various other things. They've got a really good chemistry, very fun. And one podcast that recently finished up that I listened to is called the AE Podcast, which is where they went through the Attitude Era in the WWF from beginning to end. And basically took a little bit of a, you know, retrospective look. Was this as great as it, everyone holds it up to be? Here are all the really weird goddamn things that happened during it. But those are two podcasts that I listen to front to back multiple times.
Okay. I listen to a lot of podcasts because between...
I would never suspect.
Well, between, like, my commuting to work and then, like, when I'm working out and doing yard work, things like that, I'm always listening to them. My favorite podcast is Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which is essentially... The easiest way to describe it is two of the guys from Comic Book Men and one of the Impractical Jokers get together and just do a show, although they were doing it before any of them had shows. And it's essentially just, you know, it's not a topic for the week or anything like that. They sort of just talk about whatever, but... The best way I can describe it is it reminds me a lot of, like, being back in high school and being around, like, a lunch table with friends and just talking and having, like, funny conversations, busting each other's balls, like, just being goofy and weird. It's somewhat of an acquired taste, but there's so much from that. I love the show. Like, I cannot... It is probably... I love it more than probably anything else out there just because it perfectly hits upon, like, everything I want to listen to. So I highly... If you like Weekly Manga Recap... I think you'd like Tell 'Em Steve Dave just because I've brought so much of Tell 'Em Steve Dave into this, essentially. I also listen to Legion of Skanks, which is a much less not safe for work, or a much more not safe for work sort of option. Like, if you aren't into offensive humor, don't listen to it. To give you an example, the episode I got into it on was they were having a discussion, a debate. This was after the Ariel Castro thing came out, the guy who had, like, those women captured in their house for a while. And was found, like, oh, he fed them McDonald's 3 times a day. So they had a debate. They're like, all right, hypothetically, this guy kidnaps you and is raping you, but he'll give you 3 meals a day from any fast food restaurant. Which one do you pick? So it's them debating for, like, 10 minutes, like, what fast food restaurant? But the premise is still, like, air in the background. So if that concept doesn't sound interesting at all to you, you're not going to like that show. But if you're into it, that's a good one. Outside of that, I like the Rooster Teeth podcast. I listen to Fear the Boot for tabletop games. A really good one, especially into, like, narrative of the tabletop games. And Hollywood Babylon. That's another one I really like. That's mostly about, like, entertainment news, but it's with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman. And that's where I got, actually, my Edwin impersonation from. It's the only other person I know that does an Edwin impersonation, basically. So... those are all some really good ones if you're interested in those at all. It's legitimately weird because the one dude's like an impressionist. Like, they jokingly call him the man of five voices because he doesn't have that many, but that's where I get it from. Yeah. Heavens, they really control me, don't you know? That's Snagglepuss. Oh my goodness, don't you know? There we go.
Penelope will be taken away if...
I can't do Snagglepuss while doing an Edwin, don't you know? Okay. That would just be preposterous.
Okay.
This is me now.
Yeah, it's you, yes.
I was about to be like, from virusfree at avast.com, and I was like, oh, never mind. Dear Chris, Never Goes Solo T, and Nick, you know why Ruler of Time. Mm. Are there any manga characters that you fear are overhated, or, if you end up answering this already, any characters you think are underappreciated?
Any victim of ship bashing, which is a lot. There are a lot of characters that are, I think, just hated because they're considered a threat to someone's preferred ship. Like, there's a lot of people who don't like, for example, Hinata. Because, like, oh, because I want, you know, I want Naruto and Sakura, or Naruto and Sasuke, or whatever, to end up together, and she could get in the way of that, so I hate her, and she's a, and so I'm gonna write this fan fiction where she's a total bitch, and so she drives Naruto into Sasuke's warm-protecting arms, slash Sakura's embrace, you know, depending on what side of that you fall on. And that's just as an example. There are plenty of works where it goes the other way. It's like, oh, I really like Naruto and Hinata, but Naruto really has a crush on Sakura, so I'm going to have her be a total bitch to him in my fanfiction in order to try for that. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you hate a character for reasons that have nothing to do with the character themselves, basically. Yeah. I'm not really sure about any others, though, because I don't really pay as much attention to fandom otherwise.
I feel like, honestly, even within our community, I feel like Asta and a lot of the cast of Black Clover gets a lot more than they deserve. I feel like those aren't bad characters the same way people will go after them.
And I don't really know about underappreciated characters either. It's like, I don't know enough about how people react to various characters because I just focus too much on my own opinions, I guess.
Shino. Full stop. Mm. Are there any historical periods that you think make for excellent story or setting that, or would just like to see in manga? This is going to sound, I guess, a little bit forced, but I really like 1920s Prohibition era, and I think maybe if you did it on the boardwalk, it might even be better. Sort of like a boardwalk empire manga. Sort of like some kind of empire within the boardwalk that you could talk about. Perhaps with a half-faced man as one of the side characters. I think that would work. Or perhaps, I think, like, early 2000s downtown Baltimore, and you're really invested in trying to put a
some sort of tapping device.
One that
requires the insertion of some sort of long metal strand.
Yeah, like a wire, but you only need one of them, so it would be like wire of the, like a the kind of wire, you know? It'd be the wire.
And in order, because it has to go so far down, you have to put it way down the hole.
You have to put it way down.
And hopefully it will keep the devil way down in the hole.
Yeah.
And it'll keep us all safe from Satan. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you for your question. There was unfortunately not a name to attach to it.
This one's from Yo-Yo. So I have a red right to left related question. Please don't tune out just yet. Correct me if I'm wrong. I remember Nick saying something about how One Piece was one off the big three, and he was talking about maybe doing a red right to left about it. I would love that, but seeing as how Nick has not done red right to left in a while, and I don't want to ask for something that the creator of it doesn't like to be asked about, I was wondering if you guys would consider doing a One Piece episode instead of, say, a recommendation. We have done a One Piece episode. Long time ago.
I think they're referring to the fact that we haven't specifically talked about, arcs.
Yeah, specifically for arcs that we have not covered on what we...
Yeah, because essentially, like, if we never really talked about anything on the show pre-time skip, because that's kind of when we started, so... I mean, we've mentioned them here and there, but I guess, like, the idea of being a topic for the episode would be us, instead of doing a recommendation, we, like, read through Little Garden or read through Alabasta and talk about that.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind.
Alright.
Okay, so we got some questions from Tropical Blitz that I think we're going to have to abridge because there's like 7 of them and they're all really long. But we'll try to get through all these. Greetings and salutations. Nick, why chromosomes, as per the rules of nature, deteriorate over time? Freeman, and I can't be bothered to read full iTunes review from my devoted foreign fans and then wonder why the woodworkers are beating my podcast in the rankings. It's because they read all the reviews in full, Chris. Larios. How are you guys doing this lovely May, possibly June? I read a lot of I can't read the entire review, all right? It would take forever if I did that. I choose snippets of them to try to capture the most of it. I read them all full myself, but on air I can only read so much. Look, I can't get into this right now. 3 questions for each of you this time. For Nick, but Chris can answer the first 2 as well. And I don't like that insinuation either, that I can't even answer the third one at all. I couldn't have possibly an opinion. I can't get into this as I will. First question. You mentioned that you severely dislike how Viz translate the accents of both Megumi and Alice in their translations, since while they're accurate to how they sound in the original Japanese manga and anime, you instead prefer how the fan translations omit their natural dialect. Is this the case because you think the way Viz decided to portray their dialects is poor, a.k.a. a hick accent for Nagumi's northern dialect and a valley girl accent for Alice's natural eerie-slash-fairy voice, or because you just dislike when anime-slash-manga add these different accents into their translation? For example, Yu-Gi-Oh's infamous dub and official translations.
Some accents are just fine annoying.
Okay.
Like, valley girl accent, annoying. And Megumi, I don't know, it's... I understand the point of it, but I don't know. I guess that, like, when I examine just her character, it doesn't seem quite the fit for me to give her a, you know, kind of like a country girl kind of thing. I know that, that it perfectly fits her in her cooking style, rather her place of origin in her cooking style, but it doesn't quite fit the idea of her character that goes in my head. And it's a completely unfair thing, you know, judgment for me to pass, because, you know, that's a decision that a, you know, translator or an adaptation had to make, based off of what would best fit a deliberate choice from the original. But it's just like, don't quite get it. And it's like, and in terms of Alice, she's a freaking rich girl. So I don't see her as being like, oh my god, we have to telego the mall and we have to get a new purse and it will telego with my new shoes. And it's like, no. I imagine her as being much, you know, doesn't fit for me.
That's fair enough. Question two, speaking of Yu-Gi-Oh! With this upcoming U.S. election season, I'm just going to cut to the chase of this because it's like a long explanation. Do you think Pegasus, if he were to run as Democratic presidential nominee, how would he do? What would his platform be? And then do you think he would...
He would do pretty damn well.
What I find interesting is Tropical specifically notes the Democratic presidential nominee. Is it because Pegasus is gay? And that fits more with the liberal kind of bill? Because I really feel like Pegasus, with as much money as he had, would work great in a Republican nomination.
I'm pretty sure he could win the Republican presidency.
Yeah, I'm like, especially this year, when it turned, like, if he had...
Would the American people accept their first lady being a formerly dead woman who was revived by ancient Egyptian magic, utilized for the secret base of Area 51? I'm pretty sure they wouldn't know about it.
I feel like if you had done it early enough, you could have gotten a fictional character up for presidential nominee in this election year for the Republican nomination. So Pegasus, I think, could definitely work there. Three, you gave your thoughts in regards to the musical opinion on the work of the dude who did Bleach, and in part, Ava, OST, and then some singing music from the cast. What is your opinion on the dude who did the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime OST?
Shinkichi Mitsumune.
Yeah. I knew you're partial to the 5Ds OST, as you mentioned in the past, but DM OST is incredible, not only for the great music and diversity. Passionate Duelist is the first thing that jumps to mind here, but also the usage of Egyptian instruments to give it a very unique flavor.
I just didn't watch the original, undubbed anime. So I wasn't exposed to it, you know, organically. I've listened to it since then. There are some good tracks, but there's none that, like, you know, like, oh yeah, I love that song, or anything like that, because I didn't watch it without dub. I watched it with, you know, bom, bom, bom.
It's on my iPod. Bom, that's a guilty
bom,
pleasure.
Bom, bom. So, I don't have strong thoughts on it, whereas with the GX and 5D's soundtracks, I, you know, just watched those series in the original Japanese, and so I came across the soundtrack naturally.
Mm-hmm. All right. I won't answer anything to that because he specifically noted that I couldn't add my thoughts.
Last bit is, since Baby Mail got a new hella catchy single out by the time of this email, name the one, what's your opinion on it? I haven't heard that one yet. I've heard Karate. That song is fucking good. That's it. That's another one. It's like, that should be a guilty pleasure, but it's not. I love Baby Metal.
Yeah, like, I goddamn love Baby Metal. as for Chris, but Nick can answer them as well since he might like it too. Oh, you get to answer all three of my questions, but I don't get to answer two of yours. Thanks for watching. Alright, this is another one I got at the bridge. So he's talked about how because he's been watching the podcast, he gets American commercials. So he's seen the KFC commercials and the fact that Norm MacDonald was replaced by Jim Gaffigan as Colonel Sanders through them. Point is, I got what you were talking about, how odd they are, but the one that caught my attention was that they were implying that even Jim Gaffigan seems to be planned to be replaced by a dog, a woman, a kid, and a black person? Is that meant to be a joke that's too clever for its own good, or just his sort of awkward humor? So, clearly, these commercials, if you don't know what I'm talking about, they have had actors, comedians playing Colonel Sanders and replacing
Daryl Hammond, then it was Norm MacDonald, then it was Jim Gaffigan.
Yes, and they've addressed the fact that they've been replacing it, so every time a new one comes in, it starts with some reference to the fact that the old one is no longer there. Like, it was a dream that I was him, or I'm looking at a photo of him. Like, they reference the fact that there was a former actor. So the commercials are self-aware of it. And I imagine what they do is they sign the comedian to a contract that just runs for a certain amount of time, and then when it's done, they put someone new on. So there is one commercial with the Jim Gaffigan one where like he sees like a like a bulletin board of next the Colonel Sanders candidates, and it's like a lot of weird choices. Like it's like that bulletin board for Batman in The Dark Knight where it's like, who could he be? And like Abraham Lincoln and shit is on there where you're just like, what? I think it's just a meta joke, the fact that they're aware that they keep replacing these people. Two, with Hulkamania going wild on the First Amendment, what do you think caused this to happen?
Okay. Let's do the short version of this. It's a long story.
Yes. Hulk Hogan is a racist.
Well, Hulk Hogan is kind of a racist. He said some racist things in a sex tape. He was filmed without his knowledge, and he sued Gawker, the website that leaked the tape, over it. He won that case. He was awarded over $100 million. The question seems to be from the viewpoint of how did he possibly win this? The answer is because that is the way that the case should have gone.
I know that Hulk Hogan is an awful
person.
Up.
I mean, Hulk Hogan is an awful person, but his life was ruined by that, and it was a violation of privacy. It was the right thing to do to rule in his favor. And I greatly dislike the man. I think that he's an awful person, and he is a racist, but it was the right decision to make.
Yes.
It just was. It was a violation of privacy, full stop.
The final question here is, the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics approaches me because I'm an editor somehow, and I'm tasked with taking on 5 new titles, one for X-Men, one for Spider-Girl, one for Steve Rogers, one for a Black Bolt's team-up book, and one for a Jean Grey solo book, and I have to put them in a new direction. I have to give them a new spin, a new title, everything like that. I can do however I want. However, there's a catch. I have to assign the book to mangakas that we've read at some point on WMR. And the only point is that I guess I have to make them sell. I can't go through all of these for multiple reasons. One, for time. And I guess the second being, I don't know most of those. Like, I have no idea what a Jean Grey solo book even is. Like, what do people like? What's quarter a character? She comes back after dying a lot? I don't know what they do. I'll tell you this. I would give Horikoshi
Sensei... Which is why we need to give that one to the guy, to the team of All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. That's all that happens every week. It's just her dying over there. No, I would give Horikoshi Sensei the Steve Rogers book. And I would have it done as, like, a very young Steve Rogers after the Super Soldier Serum. And he's, like, 18, like, very young adult. And it's him going into World War II and fighting other super-powered supervillains in World War II. Which would be kind of weird because it's a Japanese guy writing about a World War II American hero fighting against Axis villains. But I feel like that'd be the closest thing to, like, here's someone who's talented in this and here's a somewhat appropriate story. So let's just blend them together.
All right, next question. Hey, Rolo Booker-T, and why ruler of the cosmic wasteland?
I like that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a few silly questions. One, would you ever consider doing a catch-up for the parts of manga you're currently covering? Well, that's the second time that we've gotten that question today. Two, if you were to choose any element from a current Jump series, plot arcs, world, characters, backstory, etc., to make the worst possible manga, what would it look like?
I feel like we've gotten this before, though, in some variation.
Yeah,
take the worst of these series?
Right, how do we take elements from a series to make the best and take them? I know this is, like, entirely just story elements, but it's still a takeoff of that one. And it's a complicated
It's
answer,
a lot of bleach. We'll go with that.
Refer to old Q&A episode. Were there any single moments in a manga that made you love the series? I think that we've talked about various times where it was like, oh, the first moment I knew I loved this series was this, and so on and so forth. I don't think that there's ever been, like, a manga that I love just for one moment, though.
I can definitely note where I started to really love series. Like, Kitora cutting off Toma's head was definitely one of them. That was where I was like, holy shit, this is awesome! For World Trigger. And, like, Death Note, I remember loving it, the scene where... It's Light's dad, like, crashes into the police studio to stop, basically, like, to try to stop Kira. And he knows when he leaves the studio, Kira's going to be able to see him and kill him. And then, like, all of the police basically stand up and put a giant barrier of shields around him so that he can get out safe. It's like, that's fucking awesome. That's the moment I remember being like, this is an awesome series.
Moment when they're on Little Garden in One Piece, and one of the giants cuts the dinosaur's head off, and so Luffy comes out of the neck hole.
Yeah. I feel like there's probably like a lot of great ones in Eye Shield 2 that I'm just not thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, last question. If you could have any series you ever covered made into a live-action show or movie, which would it be? Who would direct it? Who would you cast? The last bits we've done, like, takes on before, but in terms of, like, which one would we choose to make a live-action adaptation of?
We did it for a movie. We did a bonus pod that were, like, modern movie. For a live-action TV show, I guess, I don't know, Monster would probably be pretty good.
We talked about, yeah, that whole thing where it's like, oh, it's a shame it's not Netflix.
Yeah,
or like, HBO series.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro back on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would probably be the best one.
Question from Connor Slaybaugh. Hello again to the Educated Scholar Band Weekly Manga Recap. I have another question from you. If you could pick a video game to get a supporting manga, which one would you pick? Supporting manga mean its purpose would be to expand on other elements or untold stories of the universe, not simply retelling the game plot. So superfluous or supplementary material, kind of like the comics of Mass Effect. They didn't really tell the story, they're just additional. I think it'd be kind of interesting, like a manga version of like a Borderlands side story or something like that. Kind of feels like the action, comedy, and barely tangible plot would work well for a manga. Like, you could just have a lot of excitement to it. And you just tell some side story. I don't know, a story about a siren or one of the backstory characters sort of stories in Borderlands 2, and I think that could work pretty well.
I'm pretty sure that there are more supporting manga for video games than you even suspect.
Like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that there's a Halo manga, for example. I really liked the Xbox Ninja Gaiden. Or Ninja Gaiden, rather. I think that would work really well because it was a very not dialogue-heavy game, which is why one of the reasons why I didn't like the follow-up very much was because the plot became much talkier. And it was like, one of the strengths of this was the fact that they didn't talk very much because the acting wasn't very good when they come up. It would just be, you know, Ryu comes a boss, he stares at and poses with his katana. And that was really it. It was very atmosphere. But I think that would actually work pretty well. And we could go, I think, a little bit more. Because we haven't actually hit 2 hours yet. So.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Oh, hello, Tropical. I regret immediately.
You're like, actually, guys, let's pack it up and go.
Oh, God. Would like to thank you guys for all the work you do, and even though I'm aware you seem to be getting some negativity in the YouTube comments, well, it's YouTube.
Just wait, say, negativity on the internet?
Just want to say not to let it get to you, and know that a lot of people really love the episodes, tangents and all, especially the bleach segments. Those are always fun. Thank you. Questions. Nisekoi has been ending for nearly a year now. Marika was the only one of the girls who got such a long extended arc for her rejection. Was it necessary in hindsight? She was... looking back, it really was, in the end, basically about three girls. Even though there were a lot more that had crushes on Raku, and...
Sugumi was in there earlier, Marika and had a key.
And even though Yui had a key, she came in way too late, and nobody fucking cared about her. She was stupid.
And she still got a relatively... I think it was like three or so chapters for exit.
Between that and, Haru and whatever, it's like... When it came down to it, it really was down to just the three of them as the main ones that had a chance with Raku. It was, it was Onodera, it was Chitage, and it was Marika. And Onodera and Chitage are the two that Raku actually loved back. So it had to come down to a choice between the two of them. And also there was a lot of mystery and build-up surrounding Marika's character. I think that it merited it.
I think also part of it kind of comes down to the fact that back then, Komi Sensei might have been kind of saying, like, I don't need to wrap anything up. Let's keep this going a little bit longer. And now we're kind of getting to the end. So it's like, let's close this plot. There's not as much time to work on that as much. Or maybe there's not a need to elongate it. So it's fine kind of giving two chapters to kind of close off all the other girls.
And maybe he wanted to have extended things for a lot more of the characters, but he, chose the one that took priority.
Yeah, or maybe he's like, look, this fucking asshole's gonna send like 7,000 things, and I'm just gonna give her a... I'm gonna give him his, essentially. I'm gonna give Marika a longer close-off.
There, Wai-san from Chiba, you fucking freak. Question two. Wrestling connection here. With the New Day having finally made the connection, what other anime and Japanese media crossovers are you looking forward to in future WrestleManias?
I want JoJo stand posing. I want the New Day to come out and they all do JoJo poses.
It probably wouldn't be too difficult for them to do because it would be a much more obscure thing. They probably wouldn't even have to have Michael Cole on commentary explaining it.
It'd be like, it's Jow Bizarre Adventure. And then Taz comes and he's like, I love that guy!
You see Xavier Woods, he is Vegeta from...
Did he say it like that?
He seriously said it like that. You gotta go back and watch.
First off,
that segment on its own is worth going back and watching anyway. But when Michael Cole finally comes in and talks about it, he's like, he's playing Vegeta.
You're
missing.
I'm still... Wait,
Yu Yu Hakusho! I love this guy!
I'm still trying to find, like, a clip of that. I haven't found it yet, but I know it's out there of fucking Taz being like, Yu Yu Hakusho! I love that guy! Like, it's like, what does that mean? That's not like it's his name!
Oh, my favorite though is Jim Ross freaking out over Skittles.
Skittles! 30! Delicious! 30! 30 funny delicious! Skittles!
Oh, God. Anyhow. Three, speaking of, on the latest Team 4-Star podcast, they mentioned their ideal adaptation of a manga arc into a wrestling storyline, which is adapting the One Piece War arc with having John Cena as Luffy, Roman Reigns as Ace, Triple H as Aki Inu, who is threatening to execute Roman on national television while the wrestlers across all networks are having an all-out war. What would your ideal manga story arc wrestling adaptation be?
God, I don't even know.
I'm sure that they would fuck it up, though.
I couldn't even begin to process what that would be.
I mean, if you're going to do that, it's just like naming wrestlers playing roles as anime characters, too. I don't know. Four, do you have trouble sleeping at night? Yes. Knowing you got several of your listeners and loyal fans to follow wrestling.
Nothing makes me happier. Nothing makes me happier than knowing I get other people into wrestling after I've long since dropped it. I know you haven't followed it as closely as you used to.
No, it's mostly because my work schedule doesn't let me watch Raw very much.
Yeah, but there was a solid period, where, like a solid year-long period, where I had completely stopped watching wrestling and you were still angry about it. And I'm like, I get to know there's a small amount of me that knows that Nick's watching wrestling because of me, and I've and getting frustrated by it, and I've just stopped hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like,
Chris, Seth Rollins and Cesaro are injured. What do I do now?
It's just me being like, what? Ooh. What's a Cesaro?
What's a Caesar?
I was listening to that the other day, and it still makes me laugh.
You're not reading it!
Said the word Cesaro right before it.
No, we're not going to write that joke in. Say it right.
I enjoy knowing other people are watching wrestling because of us and our references, and knowing full well that I don't have to endure any wrestling. I watched two matches at WrestleMania, and I haven't watched any other wrestling beyond that.
Five, since the Air Gear goal on Patreon isn't getting any close to completion. This was back in April, so...
Yeah.
Much to Chris's delight, is it possible to get some other goals in between? You greedy bastard, you! An idea I had was having themed bonus episodes that were about learning to play games like Hearthstone, Yu-Gi-Oh!, sort of like your specials you did for Go, and that one Christmas Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode where Chris schooled Nick and dueling.
That was a great episode.
First of all, someone else made that deck for me.
That played itself, essentially. It's like, kill this monster, summon two monsters just like it. I'm like, this is great!
And I was like, I'll just play this deck that's just fun to play and isn't super meta or whatever.
I had no idea. I was just like, what are these hands? Whatever. I'm just says to put them in. Why not?
Fucking Cav.
First and foremost, the Air Gear thing I think is going to be happening sooner rather than later. Again, we are discussing and looking into adding maybe a new tier and some other stuff for the Patreon, so that could happen. I don't really know about putting another goal in between there. We've kind of been spacing out our goals, and I'm it's a very large focus on us to make sure the Patreon, like, the goals are big things for the show. So I don't really, I don't know if there's anything I could just throw in there as, like, a median thing. It's not really, and it's not like even that it's like we need to hit a goal within 6 months or something like that. Like, it's fine if it takes time to get to that, you know. But I do like the idea of having, like, special episodes like that. I'm trying to actually do something with Hearthstone, like a special thing with interacting with fans using Hearthstone. It just requires me to have cards in Hearthstone, which takes a really long time to do, and money at times. So I'm trying to get to that point, but I just don't have all the cards I need to make it work, essentially.
Okay.
I think we'll do one more email, basically, because...
Well, there's a really short one here, so you may want to do one.
Maybe two. Okay.
This is from Andre Golden. Says, "Dear Y Roller, Terminator and RoboCop T, I've been enjoying watching Naruto, and I wonder what eye power you would have."
Out of the ones that are available in it? Fuck it, I'll just take Bakugan then. It's the one I'll get the least hate over.
I'll take Renegon, and then maybe like a year later I can write a dissertation paper on what this thing actually does. I'm like, I think I control people? I don't really know. My eyes are really annoying to look at, though. They look like they'd be really annoying to draw.
And it's the final form of the Sharingan, so that means it has all the Sharingan powers too, I guess?
Sometimes, because... Pain didn't seem to use them, but...
I don't know. I mean, Sasuke has a Renegon now. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, we'll do this last one then. From Jonah Bacon Lefkowitz. "Dear Nick, build a wall to protect our Pop-Tarts Freeman, and Chris, hoping for a Capybara starter to be revealed in Pokemon S&M."
Sadly not.
Did not happen. "As always, I have
a..." There hasn't been a Capybara Pokemon, though. Maybe this time, in the tropical islands of Aloha, or whatever the name of this new region is. And it's like a fighting, farting type or something.
"As always, I have a wacky question and a normal one, as well as recommendations. So let's start with the normal question. What are some of your favorite facts about manga you love that you've learned through external material? For example, Oda revealed in an SBS column that Monet and Sugar were sisters, which I thought was interesting."
That actually is pretty interesting. That is interesting. It's a little sad. Sugar's sister's dead.
Well, no one dies in One Piece, but...
You know. I think Monet's super dead. Her heart did explode.
I don't really care too much for a lot of external material, though. I made my thoughts on that known whenever you were like, apparently we need to read this book called Unmasked to understand what's going on in this.
Well, I think those are a little bit different, because that's like saying if Sugar was pissed off at Usopp because Monet died, and...
You would have to.
It's like, yeah, like, you had to read this side thing to understand why. Like, if it's just something like, here's a little fact about, like, an interesting tidbit, I like those. Especially in, like, the volume kind of in-betweens. I think those are really interesting. I don't know if one plot thing or anything like that pops into my mind, just because I can't store all that on like, perfect recall, unfortunately. But, like, I like the little details they put out and through those. So I know there's some interesting ones out there. I just, unfortunately, I can't like recall one at the moment right now.
Alright. "And now for the wacky question. Both of you wake up one morning to find that you're in elementary school again, and go to school to discover the shocking truth that someone in the class has stolen all the chalk. In order to solve this horrifying mystery, you hold a class trial a la Gakuhote, where Nick is the prosecutor and Chris is the attorney defending a random guest star from Double WMR's history." Double WMR's history?
He might have been trying to like phonetically write Double
WMR's history. You can pick which one. "How does the case unfold? What twists and turns occur? Who really took the chalk? And does this also hold the secret as to why you're suddenly elementary schoolers?"
Okay, we are elementary school. Like, I was like, the idea that we're just in elementary school as late 20s guys, like, with full beards and shit.
We sit down, and it's like, God damn it, these chairs are so much smaller than I remember.
Like, our knees are up to our ears, and just like, teacher, can I go to the potty? She's like,
do you need to go number one or number two?
I had a lot to drink last night, so you know what, it might be both. I still have to think in our elementary school versions, you still have the mustache, though.
It just so hard to imagine me without facial hair.
I don't know what you'd look like. I like that I'm the attorney, because I feel like that's the heroic option to have. Like,
well,
I'm the
Phoenix, right? I am evil, so.
That is true. You do have more of a Miles Edgeworth vibe to you, too.
Chris, no. You're overlooking one very simple fact.
Plus, I'm the guy who, like, halfway through, I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Do I have any magical spirit people to come over and help me out for a couple times?
Yeah!
Mayo, and whatever the younger one is, who gets disturbingly hot when the spirit had been fucking used their body.
Oh, God.
That is the case of most of the question.
Shock. I think that I would single out teacher's aid, and you would be defending them. And basically, I would have you on the ropes. It would look like I was correct and they were guilty, but then you would reveal that the teacher had forced them to take the blame because there was a special surprise that they wanted to save from the class, which was that they switched to whiteboards with markers.
I loved it at first. I was like, wow, this really is going to be like a Gakuhotai thing where it turns out this big mystery was actually like, I did it to distract you all from an elaborate surprise party. Instead, it's like, hey, switching to whiteboards, so I thought I'd just fuck with guys for a couple hours.
There's nothing particularly ornate you can do with chalk. Oh, wait. Maybe they were going to have some sort of fucking hopscotch competition.
Or maybe like a chalk drawing competition outside. We go outside and there's all these cool people. I just like that you're like...
It'd be like that one episode of Recess where Spinelli draws that amazing thing on the blacktop. Recess reference for the win.
I love the idea of the teacher's like, I'm going to really fuck with these kids for a couple hours. They'll love it when the whiteboard's coming.
Well, it's like, for their legal lesson, Chris.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. Like we are like for some reason the elementary school aimed to teach us all to become prosecutors and lawyers, so it actually makes sense.
That's it. There was a recommendation at the end of the manga, but that's the last of the questions. So I think we're going to wrap up here. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for the Q&A episode of Weekly Manga Recap. Special thanks to our patrons who make bonus content like this available for all of you. We do have, you know, a bonus episode available, but this and our movie commentaries are free for everyone to listen to, /download/whatever. So, you can check out all of the stuff that we have on our Patreon, patreon.com/weeklymangarecap. If you want to give us some support, that's fine. If you can't, well, you can still listen to those two things for free.
Yes.
And, of course, you can check out all of our regular episodes. We will have links to them. You can check them out by following us on Twitter, WMR Podcast. He is at Relotium, and I'm at YRoachTime for our individual accounts. And, let's see, there's iTunes, there's our YouTube, and podcastgarden.com/WeeklyMangaRecap.
Boosh. All right, then.
No, not Pocket Scar.
Podbean.
Podcast Garden is the one that I use.
Yep.
Podbean.
So there we go. Good stuff. You know, I was almost going to ask at the start of the episode, too, what your favorite starters from different generations were, but I don't know. I guess that was unnecessary.
Cyndaquil.
What about first generation?
Charmander.
Then third generation?
That was Treecko, Mudkip, and Torchic, wasn't it? I didn't really like any of them.
Not even Treecko?
Nah.
Grovyle's Grovyle's pimp. I love Grovyle. Yeah. Septile, I'm not crazy about. Although his mega.
Yeah, he just needs because he loses the whole head blade thing. He grows it. He grows it between and then loses it. It's weird.
Well, he loses the sleekness too. Like he gets really bulky and he has his like big stupid yellow bulbous things on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And let's see. Fourth gen is...
That's Chimchar, Piplup, and Turtwig.
Right. And I don't really like their base forms, but I like all of their final evolutions a lot.
I like Turtwig. Turtwig works.
He's a cute little turtle thing. And let's see, then there was, what, Oshawott?
And Piggy and... the
Pignite.
Snivy, I think.
Snivy. I really like Oshawott. Cute.
I don't like any from that gen. I guess Tepig.
And then he turns into a samurai, so.
Yeah, but I hate the quadruped. I hate that he has, like, full function, like, he stands on two legs, and his final form's like, I fucking fell.
I like Gen 6 starters, aside from the grass one.
Chespin, Fennekin, and Froakie.
Froakie and Fennekin are both really cool.
I like Chespin, actually. And I like Froakie. I'd like Fennekin if its evolutions were such bizarre weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a wizard fox for some reason.
And Chespin looks pretty cool when it evolves to Chestnut.
Yeah, I was going to say, its final evolution. Its second evolution is
it's
hideous.
And he's just like, I'm basically Bowser, fuck you.
See, it's weird, I'm like a fire guy for the first two gens, Charmander and then Cyndaquil, and then after that it's almost like straight grass types. But I hate Chikorita. I've never used a Chikorita. I've played Pokemon so many times and I've never used a Chikorita as my starter, ever. I hate that thing.
Chikorita is pretty plain. Bayleaf, I really do like. And Meganium, nah, it looks stupid.
Yeah.
I'm a dinosaur with a flower on my neck. That's it. Alligator's cool. Typhlosion, I think, should have looked different.
It's one of the few times, like, this is a really under-designed Pokemon.
Yeah. Quilava looks really cool. Typhlosion is just a large Cyndaquil, really.
Yeah.
I really need more.
Maybe you'll get a Mega Evolution and get, like, cannons.
That was such a great thing when they came out with the Blastoise Mega Evolution. It's like, and now it's a really big gun! it's got cannons coming out of everywhere!
It just adds another one to every... Like, they just add a cannon to
every... It's got a cannon coming out of its dick!
I'm like, oh. I don't know if I want to see this Hydro Pump.